Hello and welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kavit Akhbayi. Well, it's a week that the U.S. would like to forget. Bomb explosion in Boston, Massachusetts. Police killed by one of the suspects of the explosion. A plant explosion in Texas to have claimed lives. And tainted letters sent to the U.S. president. Lives have been lost on U.S. mainland. Yet overseas, lives are lost continuously. From U.S. assassination drone strikes in Pakistan to the occupation in Afghanistan to support for insurgents in Syria for regime change there. Aren't those lives just as important? Is America facing homegrown terrorism because of its foreign policy overseas? Just a couple questions we'll be asking in this edition of The Debate.
The U.S. city of Boston and its suburbs have been locked down as police continue a massive manhunt to find a surviving marathon bombing suspect who's on the run. Days after three people were killed and over 170 injured in the twin Boston blasts, police have identified the bombers as two brothers who'd been living in the U.S. for almost a decade. 19-year-old Johar Sarnef, a medical student, is still on the run, and his 26-year-old brother Tamerlan was killed in a shootout in Watertown, Massachusetts. Tamerlan was killed as police were out searching after the fatal shooting of a security officer at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. The governor of Boston called for a lockdown of the city and its suburbs after the MIT shooting, describing Johar, who's on the run, as armed and dangerous.
The older brother had a YouTube account that featured a lot of Al-Qaeda-oriented videos. But as we know, anyone can create a YouTube account, and this could be somebody trying to pin some sort of radicalism on these two brothers, when in fact they could be just mercenaries without any religious linkages, or they could in fact be tied to some of these Al-Qaeda fronts that have been supported by the United States and certain NGOs in the past.
But the father of the suspect says his sons were set up by the U.S. Secret Service for being practicing Muslims. The president of the Chechen Republic has also slammed media reports that have related the boys to Chechen militants. The suspect's uncle has also spoken out to the media.
No, they've never been in Chechnya. It has nothing to do with Chechnya. Chechens are different. Chechens are peaceful people. Anything else to do with religion, with Islam, it's a fraud. It's a fake.
Many accuse Washington of following a contradictory approach when it comes to terrorism.
The Russian government has for years condemned Western support for the Islamist guerrillas in Chechnya that are influenced heavily by the Saudis and the Salafists. So if this is an Islamic emirate of the Caucasus operation, we've got people like Senator John McCain, who has given aid and support to these individuals. So the U.S. may have to take a look at its support for these Chechen operatives in Chechnya and abroad, especially those who received funding from Western non-governmental organizations.
On the one hand, the U.S. lectures the world on coming together to fight terrorism. And on the other hand, it's been at the forefront of supporting some terrorist groups in Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan for its own interests. But one thing that's been ignored over the years is that terrorism can be a double-edged sword that can backlash at home.
Let's introduce our guest for this edition of The Debate. Imam of Masjid al-Islam, Abdul Ali Musa, joins us from Berkeley. And from the State University of New York, we have Carl Grossman, who joins us from New York. Gentlemen, welcome. Carl Grossman, in the span of 48 hours, on Patriots Day, explosions in Boston, and then the tainted letters, even one sent to the U.S. President Obama. What are we looking at? Is this a fluke in terms of what has occurred consecutively, in succession order, practically?
Well, I think these are separate issues. The letters apparently, well, allegedly were sent by some disgruntled fellow in Mississippi. I think that's a whole kind of separate case. I think what we have here in Boston, or more specifically Watertown and Cambridge right now, has to do with these two brothers and, well, any connections that they might have. I mean, the news today is that one of the brothers, the older one who was killed last night, spent 6 months in Russia, and the question that is being posed by U.S. media has to do with whether he went to Chechnya and got training so these bombs could be built and so forth and so on. So I think we have individual cases. And the big issue is whether the two brothers who were charged with the Boston Marathon bombing have any kind of international terrorist connections.
Well, you do pose it like that, but Abdul Ali Musa, let's take a look at the case of these two brothers, whether they have international relationships of any kind. I mean, we're looking at two males, white, one 19 years old, another 26 years old, educated, and they're U.S. citizens. They've grown up in the United States. So does it make a difference in terms of where their ethnicity is? This is where they grew up.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Since this affair in Boston has happened a few days ago, I've had the opportunity to speak to people involved in the Islamic movement and to talk a little in-depth with people who are involved in what you might call a patriot movement and citizens in general. What has came out of these discussions is that most people feel that this is a continuation of the war to take weapons out of the hands of U.S. citizens. Number two, well, it's a war of fear and weapons. If you notice, in recent times, there's been a lot of unexplained shootings and killings all over America, in Connecticut, in Colorado, Gabby Gifford in Arizona. All of these seemed to be unnecessary shootings, unreasonable, and no motive. Then that gives the government the justification and the reason to try to get more control of weapons. Why? The U.S. economy is failing. The U.S. political system is failing. The U.S. educational system is failing. People are underwater in housing. The middle class is shrinking. So the government feels that as a proactive security measure, they should get control of the weapons in America. That's why it's unspoken in the media, but many of the people believe, just like some of us believe, that these bombings, these all of a sudden rash of unexplained killings is the same as Adolf Hitler bombing the Reichstag, blaming it on people that he didn't like, and becoming Chancellor of Germany.
Okay. Where he's the well, let me get a reaction, if you don't mind. I'm sorry to jump in.
This is
from
what
Carl
we
Grossman.
Is
keep
going
your thoughts
on
there, Abdul Ali Musa. Carl Grossman, do you believe that's the case? That the U.S. government, one of the reasons it has here is to take away weapons that Americans have, take them out of their hands, using this as the motive for that?
Not at all. With all due respect, what's just been articulated is a pretty wacky conspiracy theory. I mean, the situation in Connecticut, and I live just across the Long Island Sound for Connecticut, involves a pretty sick and ill, a mentally deranged young man. I mean, what we have here again, and I also live very close to New York City, where, I mean, this sort of thing began with 9/11. In fact, many of my students at the State University of New York College at Old Westbury knew people, had relatives who worked at those towers at the Trade Center. 9/11 began for the United States a series of events through which the United States really woke up. I remember a quote from a Japanese general speaking about Pearl Harbor, waking a sleeping giant. 9/11 woke up a sleeping giant, and ever since, this country has been very, very active on the terrorist front. And I think ultimately, what we have here, well, this remains to be seen, is not two brothers, but something a little bigger than two brothers.
Well, let me jump in here quickly, Carl Grossman, since you are from New York. Tell us then, when at the end of 2012, I'm sure you heard about this, where the New York City police, they found bomb-making materials and a terrorist encyclopedia at the Greenwich Village home of a young Harvard graduate and his 9-month pregnant girlfriend, from well-to-do families, both well-educated.
Well, I'm not familiar with that case, and I do...
Well, it's a case that outlines the profile of what we're looking at here. In some ways, you can make a comparison to what has occurred here with these two white males. My point being that you can't have a profile based on putting the ethnicity coming from Chechnya, for example, as to be a reason. And this is based on the Occupy Wall Street protest, which is my question to Abdul Ali Musa. How much do you think this may be related to the frustration that we're now seeing, perhaps an outcome of it or a consequence of it? This one example from the arrest in New York to these two males here who have conducted the Boston Marathon bombings.
No, I don't think so. I don't think the Occupy Wall Street movement had anything to do with it. In fact, the Occupy Wall Street movement is still in progress. It's just morphed into another plane, another level of activity. The main thing surrounding the movement, Occupy Wall Street, was nonviolence. I had a lot to do with here in Oakland and being around in Washington, D.C., and the main corner or the main pillar of this structure, this organization, this movement was nonviolence. But the Occupy Wall Street movement did identify during this period of struggle who the enemy of humanity was. It was the Wall Street bankers, the Zionist media, and other forms of governmental control and non-governmental control. I want to reiterate this bombing that took place in Boston. First of all, there's no reason behind it. If you go to solve a crime, you have to first figure the regular crime policy. Who had a motive? Who had a history of doing these things before? Who had the ability? And who would gain? Who would gain from bombing innocent people? Especially someone from Chechnya. This has no rhyme or reason whatsoever. And then the other point is, there's a well-organized plan in place, and then there's no getaway plan. The people have had 2 days to leave the Boston area. They know cameras exist. They know the government is going to finally hone in on some suspects. Why would they do this? This gives us a feeling of what patriot people refer to as false flag, a 911 type operation, a 9/11 type operation that justifies continuous oppression of the American people. See, the Muslims have been under oppression, but so are the American people, the economy, the educational system, the lower standard of living, the shrinking of the middle class. All of this means that the Muslims are not a threat to the government. The people of America are a threat to the government. There's one point I would like to make before moving. Thomas Jefferson, one of the founders, actually the writer of the Declaration of Independence, his idea is this. If the government is weak and the people are strong, you have more liberty. If the government is strong and the people are weak, you have less liberty. That was the purpose of the Second Amendment, the ability of the people to carry and bear arms, because it was the citizens who fought against the British Empire in America and brought it down. It was not an army. It was the citizens who all had weapons. The threat to American sovereignty is the American people themselves.
Very well.
That's why we wonder. We can't prove all of this, but we feel that there's something sinister about continuous shootings in movie theaters.
Right.
Killing of innocent people, shooting of children. This is very suspicious.
Right. And to add to your point there, you know, based on some records, there have been over 3,400 people who have been killed in gun-related violence across the U.S. since that December shooting at the Connecticut Elementary School. But right now, I'd like to take a time out and take a look at two viewer comments. We're going to run them back to back to get a sense of what the viewers out there actually think. First comment, number one, coming from Prince Sheaf. Let's take a listen to that one.
What goes around comes around. America is just paying the price of backing terrorists. Most Americans will associate Chechnya with Russia, and we all know Russia is Iran's friend and ally. When 19 Saudis supposedly hijacked planes and attacked us, we retaliated against Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, not the Saudi. The bombers didn't have to be Iranian to give this warped government a reason to invade Iran in return.
Carl Grossman, your reaction to either one of those comments, if you have a reaction to it.
Reaction, it would be pointing to the statement made by the uncle of these two accused Boston Marathon bombers. That was this morning. And he said he loves America, that America is a place, the United States of America, which embraces people of all kinds of backgrounds, with people try to kind of get along. Now, I've been critical about the United States on many fronts. In fact, I just did an earlier interview today about President Obama's support of commercial nuclear power in this United States being a big mistake. I did a book a number of years ago about U.S. intervention in Nicaragua. But I think we have to think clearly. We have to understand that this country is not the devil. This country is an experiment in democracy. And like the uncle of those two boys who said, I love it, I too love it. The United States of America, for all its faults, is a wonderful experiment in democracy. And I'm speaking to a media entity out of Iran. And as a fellow said out in California about 15 years ago in another context, can't we get along? Can't we get along? I would just suggest that a lot of this conspiracy theory, this paranoia, this fear, should be dealt with
Is it paranoia? I mean, this particular viewer saying what goes around comes around. America is just paying the price of backing terrorists. Abdul Ali Musa, our guest Carl Grossman, says America is an experiment in democracy. Doesn't an experiment in democracy mean assassination drone strikes in Pakistan documented at least 400 civilian deaths, including children? Does that constitute an experiment in democracy?
Well, speaking about Chechnya,
you have to excuse me because I cannot hear what Mr. Grossman is saying. But as far as in America being an experiment in democracy, I've been here all my life, 68 years, and I have never seen or heard of anything vaguely related to democracy. In America, the Constitution originally referred to African Americans as 3/5 of a person. Most of our history in America has dealt with slavery. The invasion of Mexico and stealing half of Mexico and calling it California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Colorado, Nevada. This experiment in democracy is an American invasion of Vietnam, Korea. America is bombing and droning people right this minute in Pakistan. The people of Afghanistan was invaded. The people of Iraq was invaded. They had nothing to do with 9/11. The only people after 9/11 that could get on a plane and leave America was members of Saudi Arabia. Why is this possible if so many of them was from Saudi Arabia? What we say is this: there's no so-called suicide bomber that would go out lap dancing and partying and drinking alcohol and using drugs as these so-called suicide bombers in 9/11 did. If they were Muslims, they would spend their whole night in prayer and fasting. We all know this is a Muslim. So that we get tired of this, the media associating any crime in America relating it to Islam and Muslims. We feel that the Muslims in America suffer from oppression right now, slander, right, maligning, Islamophobia, more than Jews did in Germany under Adolf Hitler. I'm saying an experiment of democracy, the brother must be living in another country, or he's never challenged the government, or he's never tried to improve the condition of America.
Okay.
Against,
well,
let's
bring
media,
let's bring him
the
in
government
then.
And the press.
Let's bring him in, Carl Grossman. If you have a response to Mr. Abdul Alim Musa there.
A little older than 68. I'm 71, and in my childhood, this country, this United States of America, stopped Hitler, stopped the Nazis, stopped the Japanese and Italian fascists. Really saved the world for democracy. In terms of racism, I write a column which is in a number of newspapers, and my column this week, in fact, is a column about fighting racism. And here, where I live in the New York area, I criticize the fact that through what's called racial steering, African Americans and Latinos are directed to certain communities, ghettos, so to speak. So I've been, you know, personally quite critical of aspects of the United States, but this country has the ability to change. It is democratic. There are great setbacks through the years in terms of foreign policy. There have been enormous mistakes, but it's a work in progress, this country. And if we want to, and this is really concerns me, claim that 9/11 was some sort of...
Okay, we won't get into the 9/11 thing, Carl Grossman. And since we're quickly running out of time, let me pose this in another way to you, Carl Grossman. When you have lives in Boston that have been taken away from this bombing, why is that such a huge deal? Not that we're saying that that's okay, but not when there's lives lost, like in Pakistan from a drone attack, like in Afghanistan based on the occupation, like what has happened in Iraq, or to use Syria as an example, where there's Al-Qaeda, which is backed in terms of some of these insurgents groups by the West, such as the U.S. and its allies, where lives are being killed. Why aren't those lives as important as the ones lost in America?
Well, lives anywhere are important, but I think why Americans are very upset about what happened in Boston is, I mean, these were purely innocent people. An 8-year-old boy, a young woman from China, he was purely innocent people who went to see the Boston Marathon, who either lost their lives or limbs were lost and so forth and so on. This was a pretty horrific event, and to claim, you know, that whether it's 9/11 or this one, it's a
right.
flag operation.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to jump in to get Abdul Alim Musa back in here for a final thought. Abdul Alim Musa, perhaps America is feeling the pinch of its foreign policy. As this guest said, what goes around comes around. What do you think?
I don't think this has anything to do with external forces. From the U.S. history, we believe that this is a planned, controlled process. The whole thing in Boston sounds like a Hollywood movie script. And I would like to close by saying, as far as the loss of lives are concerned, in 1980 to 1988, that was the war between Iraq and Iran. The United States supported
yeah, I'm so
the
sorry. I got to jump in. We're fresh out of time. Thank you very much. Imam of Masjid al-Islam, Abdul Alim Musa there from Berkeley. Thank you. From the State University of New York. Thank you so much, Carl Grossman. That's it for this edition of The Debate. From me, Kavit Tahwai, and the entire team in the capital, Tehran. It's goodbye.